Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning. What a moment the Lord has brought us to. Hallelujah. We are the children of God, and he has given us a new day. Help me say thank you, Lord, for this brand new day that you have given us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanks be to the name of the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let us pray. This is not going to be a very long show today because I got a little carried away on yesterday and read our New Testament word because it was just that good. Father God in heaven, we are grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning, Lord God. We ask you, Father God, to increase as we decrease. We ask you, Lord God, that the words of our mouth, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, that it be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For, Father God, you are and our Redeemer. You are God, and you are in charge of everything. Lord God, I thank you for waking us up this morning. I thank you for giving us all a brand new day. I thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty Father, an awesome and mighty God, our friend who knows every hair on our head. And I thank you, Lord, and ask you, Father God, to guide and lead us. Cover your children, Lord God. Cover each and every one. And, Lord God, a special prayer for those that are fleeing, those that are running, those that are stuck in Ukraine, Lord God. Put a shield of protection around your children, O Lord, that no bombs, no hurt, no danger come nigh to their residence, to their homes, to their children. And, Lord God, I ask you to put hearts of compassion in those that would like to see war starting and who would like to see all this world destroyed. Lord God, unharden hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray, lifting up this word, lifting up our planet, lifting up our brothers and sisters in love in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in some perilous times. But, you know, I'm sure that there are many that are celebrating today the Day of the Green. I know where I live, the Lake Michigan has been dyed green, and it's been a long time since they were able to do that because of COVID. It has been pretty treacherous, and so a lot of things were canceled in the last 2 years. A lot of traditions were not done in the last 2 years. But God is bringing us out. God is bringing us out, and I can't say anything but thank you, Lord. Woo, thank you, Lord. And, you know, just kind of a little overview of St. Patrick. And it just says, it is St. Patrick's Day, or the Feast of St. Patrick. The day of the Festival of Patrick is a cultural and religious celebration held on the 17th of March, the traditional death day, patron saint of Ireland. The patron saint of Ireland. And it says, let me go down and get some more information. St. Patrick's Day is observed by Irish people and people of Irish descent. Catholic Church calendar and Anglican Communion calendar, Eastern Orthodox Church, Lutheran Church, ethnic national Christian. These day of St. Patrick, commemoration of the arrival of Christianity in Ireland. Attending parades, wearing green, shamrocks, drinking Irish beer and Irish whiskey, Christian processions attending Mass or service, 17th of March. And it says St. Patrick's Day was made an official Christian feast day in the early 17th century and is observed by the Catholic Church, the Communion, the Church of Ireland, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Lutheran Church. The day commemorates St. Patrick and the arrival of Christianity in Ireland and celebrates the heritage and culture of the Irish in general. Celebrations generally involve public parades and festivals and the wearing of green attire. Christians who belong to liturgical denominations also attend church services. And historically, the Lenten restrictions on eating and drinking alcohol were lifted for the day, which has encouraged the propagation of the holiday tradition of alcohol consumption. I'm just reading from, I believe this is Wikipedia, which you can always take with a grain of salt. And it says this St. Patrick's Day is a public holiday in the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, the Canadian province of Newfoundland, and Labrador for provincial government employees and the British Overseas Territory of Montserrat. It also widely celebrated in the United Kingdom, Canada, United States, Brazil, Argentina, Australia, New Zealand, and among Irish diaspora. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated in more countries than any other national festival. Modern celebrations have been greatly influenced by those of the Irish diaspora, particularly those that developed in North America. However, there has been criticism of St. Patrick's Day celebrations for having become too commercialized and for fostering negative stereotypes of Irish people. And let's just go in and find out who was St. Patrick. You know, because this is just dealing with St. Patrick's Day. Let's go and see who was St. Patrick, because it's a big deal today. And when we look at who St. Patrick was, who was St. Patrick and why do we celebrate? And it just says this. It says, while in captivity, he became a Christian. Later, he escaped and became a priest, rechristened as Patrick. He spent the rest of his life, let's go in and find out who was St. Patrick. You know, and let's understand that everything that has to do with faith becomes commercialized. We all know that Easter is not about an Easter bunny, but our children have been commercialized into looking at Easter and looking at Easter bunnies. And when we talk about Christmas, it's not about Santa Claus and a jolly old elf. It's about Jesus. But again, it's been commercialized. So we're going to talk about who St. Patrick was. And then we're going to get into our word. Because when we read the story of St. Patrick, it's really, you know, it's really poignant, you know, because it's about Christianity, you know, and it's about loving God. It's about who he was and not about this man became a Christian and also a martyr. And when we talk about who was St. Patrick, it really touches your heart. And because he was not just anybody. And this is what it says. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated annually on March the 17th. The anniversary of his death in the 5th century, St. Patrick's Day 2020, will take place on Thursday, March the 17th, and we understand all of that. Who was St. Patrick? St. Patrick, who lived during the 5th century, is the patron saint of Ireland and his national apostle, born in Roman Britain. He was kidnapped and brought to Ireland as a slave at the age of 16. He later escaped but returned to Ireland and was credited with bringing Christianity to his people. In the centuries following Patrick's death, believed to have been on March the 17th, 461, the mythology surrounding his life became even more ingrained in the Irish culture. Perhaps the most well-known legend of St. Patrick is that he explained the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, using the three leaves of a native Irish clover, the shamrock. So now you understand why that three-clover shamrock represents the Trinity, represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Since around the 9th, have been observing the Roman Catholic feast day of St. Patrick on March the 17th. The first St. Patrick's Day parade took place not in Ireland, but in America. Records show that St. Patrick's Day parade was held on March the 17th in 1601 in a Spanish colony in what is now St. Augustine, Florida. The parade and a St. Patrick's Day celebration a year earlier were organized by the Spanish colony's Irish viscount, Ricardo Artur. More than a century later, homesick Irish soldiers serving in the English military marched in New York City on March 17, 1772, to honor the Irish patron of enthusiasm for the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York and Boston. But the bottom line is, he was a Christian, and they credit him with taking Christianity to Ireland. You know, we have got to understand that it is very nice, but it says this, you know, that he escaped from slavery, came back and brought Christianity to a people enslaved by poverty, enslaved by so many different things. But we have got to always understand that everything that has something to do with our Father, the enemy will try to take it and change it and make it what it is not, because that is just what he does. He changes things. You know, and we understand that God is in charge, and that this is, for some people, a holy day. And for others, it's just a day to do things they shouldn't do. But above all things, when you think of this day of wearing the green, remember that it's not about little bad leprechauns, but it's about a man who escaped slavery, who became a priest, and who took Christianity to Ireland. And that is the best story that we could ever have. You know, and that he was, did a job that helped people. And we're talking, you know, as I said, credit with bringing Christianity to Ireland, the 400th St. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland and also the country's national apostle, because he brought the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to a pagan country. So give God the glory today. It's not about drinking green beer. It's not even about the corned beef and cabbage, but it's about Jesus and the fact that man chose God over everything. And when you choose God and follow his commandments, everything else falls into place. And our word for this morning is simply this: we must do as the Lord commands. And obviously God commanded this young man to go back to a place where he was enslaved and take him with him. And just a prayer for this morning before we get started. Your motive: am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be at Galatians 1 and 10 ESV version. It says, Lord, search me and know my heart. You see every hidden motive that is there. Lord, where I tend toward pleasing the people around me over you, give me grace to choose you. I am yours. My devotion belongs to you. Help me to always prioritize you over trying to win favor with the people around me, even my leaders. When I start to get caught up in what others think about me, I will lay down my thoughts on the altar of your love and meditate on who you say I am and who I am becoming. I will not compromise your values or mine by bending my obedience to satisfy someone else's preference. I will stay strong as a child of the King, following you. May my heart remain soft as well, that I may be molded by you and for you, my Lord, be the leader of my life. And the question that we are going to ask today is, who are you living to please? And we'll get to that as we get into our Old Testament word. And today we are coming out of Numbers chapter 31 and chapter 32. Again, we are in Numbers chapter 31 through chapter 32, verse 42. Our psalm this morning is the 35th psalm, verses 1 through 8. And our proverb is Proverb 12, verse 1. And so we will not have a New Testament word this morning because we did, in fact, read it on yesterday. And so understand that Moses is getting ready to leave. We know that God is getting ready to call him home, and he's trying to get the children of Israel ready. He is already getting ready to pass that mantle on to Joshua. But we know that there's some things that he has to do. He still has some things in his assignment because he is doing as the Lord commands. And this is what it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel, after which you shall gather to your people. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, arm some of yourselves for war, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel you shall send to the war. That's 12,000 men. So there were recruited from the division of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the holy articles and a signal trumpet in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses. And they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, Evi, Rakim, Zer, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. And we know who Balaam was. Remember, Balaam tried to get Barak go against God. But he got it. He died. And the children of Israel took the women of Midian captives with their little ones and took as spoils all their cattle, all their flocks, and all their goods. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their forts. And they took all the spoil, all the booty of man and beast. Then they brought the captives, the booty, and the spoil to Moses, to Eleazar, the priest, and to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. And Moses, Eleazar, the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was angry with the officer of the army, with the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man intimately, but keep alive yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately, and as for you, remain outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any person and whoever has touched any and slain, purify yourself, your captives, on the third day and on the seventh day. Purify every garment, thing made of leather, everything woven of goat hair, and everything made of wood. Then Eleazar, the priest, said to the men of war who had gone to the battle, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold and silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean. And it shall be purified with the water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through water, and you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day and be clean. And afterwards, you may come into the camp." Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Count up the plunder that was taken of man and beast, you and Eleazar, the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the plunder into two parts between those who took part in the war, who went out to battle, and all the congregation, and levy a tribute for the Lord on the men of war who went out to battle, one of every 500 other persons, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep. Take it from the half and give it to Eleazar, the priest, as a heave offering to the Lord. And from the children of Israel's half, you shall take one of every 50 drawn from the persons, cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep, from all the livestock, and give them to the Levites who keep charge of the tabernacle of the Lord." So Moses and Eleazar, the priest, did as the Lord commanded Moses. The booty remaining from the plunder, which the men of war had taken, was 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 persons in all, of women who had not known a man intimately. And I'm going to put a pin right there before we go into verse 36. Now remember, when we talked about Peor, what happened, you know, that was in our lessons last week, I believe, where it took Phinehas to kill. He had to kill somebody, threw a javelin through them, because they thought they could just bring this woman into the camp. You know, in other words, I'm going to flaunt and not worry about what the Lord said. I'm going to do what I want to do. Because one thing that they thought about doing is that they used women to get these men aroused to do what they were not supposed to do. They was all into it. It says, now Israel, and this is from Numbers chapter 25, and it says, "And now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he caused a plague to come through." Now understand that one of the leaders of Israel's sons, he's going to come back with a woman. And it says, "Indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel weeping at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. And that's why Moses had a moment when he saw them bringing back these women who had men. What did he say? "Have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man intimately." That's some crazy stuff. You thought, that just seems so awful. Mm-mm. This was about survival. It was about survival of God's people. And during times of survival, some horrible things to get done. And these were some horrible things. that if you had known the man, you died. But if you had not, you lived. And this is what it says. And 32,000 persons in all of women, 32,000 women survived from Moab. And the half the portion of those who had gone out to war was in number, 500 sheep. And the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 675. The cattle was 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 72. The donkeys were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. The persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 32 persons. So Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering, to Eleazar, the priest, and the Lord commanded Moses. And from the children of Israel's half, which Moses separated, from the men who fought, now the half belonging to the congregation was 337,000. 500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, and 16,000 persons. And from the children of Israel's half, Moses took one of every 50 drawn from man and beast and gave them to the Levites, who kept charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then the officers who were over thousands of the army, the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds, came near to Moses, and they said to Moses, your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command and not a man of us. Therefore, we have brought an offering for the Lord, that every man found of ornaments of gold, armlets, and bracelets, and signet rings, and earrings, and necklaces, to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. So Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from them and all the fashion ornaments, and all the gold of the offering that they offered to the Lord from the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds was 16,750 shekels. The men of war had taken spoil every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar, the priests, received the gold from the captains of thousands and of hundreds and brought it into the tabernacle meeting as a memorial to the children of Israel before the Lord. They did what God commanded. Moses said, this is what you got to do. And that's what they did. And that's what we have to do. We have to do as the Lord commands. And when we do as God commands, everything else falls into place. Whatever you need, it falls into place. Because when God is in charge of, you don't worry about anything. Come on now. Hallelujah. We thank God every day for his grace and for his mercy toward us. And it says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Hashbon, Leah, Sabam, Nebo, and Benin, the country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel, a land for livestock, and your servants of livestock. Therefore, they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now, why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. But when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt, from 20 years old and above, shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kizite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But they have wholly followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. But if you turn away from following him, he will once again lead them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. Then they came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the children of Israel till we have brought them to their place, and our little ones will dwell in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the children of Israel has received his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on the eastern side of the Jordan. Then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourself before the Lord for the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterwards you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do what has proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our livestock will be there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will cross over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, just as my Lord said. So Moses gave command concerning them to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, every man armed for battle before the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead as a possession. But if they do not cross over armed with you, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. Then the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has commanded, as the Lord has said to your servants, so we will do. We will cross over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan. But the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us on this side of the Jordan. So Moses gave to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Or, king of Bashan, the land with its cities within the borders of the cities of the surrounding countries. And the children of Gad built Dibon, Atharoth, and Aroer, Atharoth and Shaphan, Jazar and Jazbahai, and Beth Merah and Beth Haran, and both for sheep. And the children of Reuben did Hashbon, Elaiah, and Jerjathim, Nebo and Baal Meon, their names being changed, and to Shabna, and they gave other names to the cities which they built. And please forgive me if I mispronounce some things. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and disposed the Amorites who were in it. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, in the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt in it. Also Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns and called them Havoth-Jair and Nabah, when he took Kenneth and his division, he called it Nabah after his own name. And this is a word as a life lesson for chapters 31 and 32 of Numbers. But Numbers 32 and 50 says, if you turn away from following him, he will once again lead them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. As believers, we must always take our responsibility seriously when we try to take the easy way out of a difficult situation. We may hurt others even if it is unintentional. And that is why we must follow the Lord's command. Because when you follow the Lord's command, everything else falls into place. And you may be bringing blessings to someone else when you follow the commands of God. But when you just do stuff selfishly and don't care about anybody because you're going to get yours, and it's not what God told you to do, you can't hurt others. Just remember, the 10 saw everything God said, a land flowing with milk and honey, brought back the fruit from the land, big old huge grapes, you know, olives, everything you can imagine was there. But instead of saying with the Lord's command and with God with us, we can make it. We can do this. This is Joshua and Caleb said. And they were almost murdered for speaking what thus says the Lord and knowing that God would be with them. The two are the ones that are going to get in, Caleb and Joshua. But the 10 all died and brought a plague with them and then brought a curse of having to be in the wilderness. All those folks that followed after the 10, that listened to the 10, what we going to do? We're going to go back to Egypt because this is hard. We can't do this. We're not going to do this. Moses, the brothers out here to die. Aaron, the brothers out here to die. Why, why, why? And they lost opportunity. So that 10 caused the rest to lose what they would have gotten. What did the doctor say? He says, believers, we must always take our responsibilities seriously. And I add, as leaders, as those that help out in ministry, as just members of a church, you must take ability seriously, whatever you do for God, and as God, as the Lord commands, we must do. Again, when we take the easy way out of a difficult situation, we may hurt others, even if it's unintentional. We have to be very careful what we do and what we say because we can cause someone else to stumble and fall. That is why we follow the Lord's command. Not man. What did God say do? And everything that God needs us to do is in his book. It's in history. It's in his story, which is what we read every day. It's in the Bible. And when we say get your Bible, it's for a reason. Because this book will save your life. It will save your soul. It will change your life. And as we get into our next verse, 35th Psalms, verses 1 through 8, a Psalm of David. And David is kind of going there. He's like, you need to get some folks, Lord. So let's see what David says. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Come on now. David's like, hey, I ain't playing. Help me, God, and help those that help me. But those that fight against me, you got them. Fight against those that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Also draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Woo! Let those who to shame and brought to dishonor, who seek after my life, let those be turned back and brought to confusion, who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind. Because, you know, it's like the parts of wheat that fly away. It's really weeds. And it says, let the anger of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. And let the anger of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself into the very destruction. Let him fall. In other words, if they're going to talk, if they're trying to get me, then, Lord, you get them first, because I know who I belong to. And this is me. You know, David said, I'm pleading my case. They chasing after me like I'm a dog on air, running, hopping away. They chasing me like I'm a fox on a fox hunt. They chasing me like I'm just a junkyard dog. They chasing me, I'm putting the words here. They chasing me. They doing stuff to me. I have done nothing. You think about this. He did nothing to Saul but be anointed by God. He didn't have anything to do with that. David didn't seek to be the king. David didn't seek anything but just to be a shepherd, taking care of his father's sheep. He was not after grandeur, but he was not going to sit by and let Goliath talk about God. And he won. And it created confusion with his family. They even didn't want to stand with him. His own brothers was jealous of him, just like Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. But David didn't have no problem cursing folks. He said, hey, I will tell you, but also blessing folks. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. And then he goes on to say, you know, he tells the Lord, let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. And that's exactly what happened. And I love our proverb word this morning. And this is a highlightable. I always like to say, keep that highlighter ready. Because this is a highlightable. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. Not my word, God's word. He who hates correction is stupid. We all got to take correction in our life. You know, you do something wrong, you need somebody to be strong enough to tell you that's not right. And if you can't deal with that correction, then the word of God says you're stupid. Constructive criticism is good for the soul. I've been constructively criticized, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it because I've learned a lot. You know, I love the fact that I have a pastor who will tell you when you do wrong and will give you instruction. And when you take that instruction to heart and follow it, you know you are following after what God has commanded. What the Lord commands is what we do. And as it goes into this life lesson, then we're going to go back to our psalm lesson. And it says this, Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Criticism is often difficult to listen to. However, the best way to handle it is to ask God if there is truth in it. He may be using someone else's word to reveal a blind spot in your character that needs work. Remember that correction is always an opportunity for growth. Again, correction is always an opportunity for growth. And when we go with that and know that, everything else, again, falls in place. because God will send someone to help you when you ask. And as David said, as he pleaded his case before God, is that sometimes people will tell lies about you. Been there, done that, got the they lied on me t-shirt. But you know what? In the more tense, everything else falls into place. Even when people lie on you, try to take from you what is not theirs to have, God steps in every time. When folks come in, I mean, just lie to be lying. And you know they lying. They know they lying. God knows they lying. And what you do is you go on about your business. You give it to God and you let God handle it, just like David said. Basically, it boils down to putting it all in perspective. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. God will always send a ram in the bush. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in Life Example. Sometimes people will tell lies about you, and you will not be able to defend yourself. Their fabrications will endanger everything you care about, your job, reputation, family, even your future, because Satan is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. And when we go over to John 8:44, let's do that really, 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 really quick. Mark, Luke, and John. Go with me to John chapter 8, and we're going to go to verse 44. And it says this, you belong to your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, now holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. We all know that the devil is an evil, low-down, dirty dog. And he will lie because he is the father of lies. And as we continue in our word this morning, and it says this, he will often concoct untruths about God's children in order to hurt them or damage their credibility. Again, been there, done that, had the person that, and always he sends somebody that you stepped out and helped to do dirt against you. Somebody that you think is a friend, somebody that you think is on your side, and then you find out the hard way that they was the ones that started all the mess against you. Been there, done that. Got the I've been hurt t-shirt by someone I thought was a friend. You know, and what happens is you start to close up and you don't want to be bothered with people because you don't trust folks. You don't want, I'm not talking to them. I'm not, nope. You become almost inhospitable because you've been hurt so many times. But that's not what God wants us to be. He wants us to be hospitable. He wants us to care about others. Just because somebody tried to hurt you, don't let them take you off your square. Don't let them take you off of the course that God has set for you. But you do what the Lord commands, and don't worry about what somebody he said, she said, boo-boo down the street. Whatever they're doing, that's between them and God. That you do what you're supposed to do. And don't let what anybody says about you knock you off your square. Folks are going to lie on you. Folks are going to backstab you. Folks are going to do all kinds of stuff to you. But you stand firm in the word of God and watch God elevate you. Watch God take you where you need to go. And they are just a footnote in your life. Let it go. Shake it off. Give it to God and keep on moving forward. And it says this, this certainly happened to Jesus. Mark 14:56. And when we go to Mark 14:56, it says this. And it says, see against him, that their statements did not agree. A liar can't keep their truth straight. They're going to lie and tell everything. And it says, many bore false witness against him. This was the only way that the Jewish religious leaders could send Jesus to be crucified by lying about what he had done. After they had crucified Jesus, the chief priests and the Pharisees went even further. They said to Pilate, sir, we remember why he was still alive. How they that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Come on now. And let's go over to Matthew chapter 27, which we've read, but we're going to read it again. Again, this is Bible study 7, and we're going to go over to verses 63 to 64. And when we go to verses 63 to 64, it says, sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. But understand, this is what Pilate said. Take the guard. Pilate answered, go make this tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Pilate's like, my ears got washed from this mess. I ain't got nothing to do with what y'all doing. Because Pilate knew, I ain't in this. And it says, finally, after Christ fulfilled his prophecy to rise from the dead, the religious leaders bribed the guards to say the disciples had stolen Jesus' body. And we know that was in Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15. Lie after lie was told, yet Proverbs 19 and 5 promises, false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. The falsehoods of the priests and Pharisees were soon dismissed. Jesus confirmed his resurrection by appearing to many witnesses, Acts 13, 30-31. In fact, it's been reported that there were more than 500. Can y'all repeat with me? Over 500, there's that Gracie again, over 500 witnesses to Christ's resurrection. Because of the people who saw Jesus had risen from the grave, the gospel spread like wildfire. No lie or clever deception could stop the truth from prevailing. The point is that God is a good and able defender, and he will bring the truth to light. Everything done in the dark will come in the light. We all know that. Matthew 10:26. And it says this, he will bring the truth to light. Therefore, ask him as Psalm 31 instructs, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Surely as you serve him, he will show them of your actions and show your accusers for what they really are. Come on now, God is in charge. Therefore, don't fear their falsehood. God's truth will prevail, and you will too. And that is our word for this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you. Don't worry about what he said, she said, woo-woo and boo-boo them down the street say. Just remember, when you follow what God commands, everything else will fall into place. We must do as the Lord commands. Don't worry about what people say about you. Don't even think about it. God is in charge. And a word for this morning from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, is this. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it and have a thankful Thursday, family, knowing that when we follow the Lord's command and that he fights for us. He is there for us. And we must, as the proverb says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. When God gives you instructions, you follow it. But understand that he waits correction. He's stupid. And we don't want to be stupid to God. We want to have knowledge. We want to have understanding. We want to help our daddy to know we follow your instructions, Dad, because we know you love us and you are in charge of our life. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. Come on now. It's time for us to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for the Lord. Hallelujah. What a fantastic word this morning. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And again, just an FYI, the Bible that we are coming out of this year is the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the King James Version. And I just say, if you do not have this Bible in your daily arsenal, please get it. It is so worth having. And all I can say is I am grateful, I am thankful, I am blessed that you all join me this morning. And I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, knowing that the Father is with you wherever you go, and that all we need to do is ask the Lord's command. Be blessed. It is a wrap.